us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Friday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I was ready, set, raring to go. He says, on your mark, get set. And I started, no, go. And here we go. So welcome to January the 3rd, 2020. Pray that you are having a blessed day. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God. And we want to set you up with the Word of God to succeed and thrive in your life. And so we're going to return to Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. I tell you that now because there's a lot of pages to turn to if you're following along in your Bible. Psalm 119, verses 33 through 40. We do want to say thank you to the folks of Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. If you have construction projects that you are planning on tackling in 2020, give them a call. If you need block or concrete work done, they are experts with decades and decades of experience. Not only do they have the expertise, but they also have the work ethic that is going to manifest itself in a job well done. And so I encourage you to give the folks at Jits Concrete a call, 321-536-5804. That's 321-536-5804. I want to invite you to join us this coming Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, worship at 10:30, and then we resume our Sunday night services at 6:30 on Sunday night. We would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing at Merit Assembly of God. We want to be a blessing. And we not only want to be a blessing, we want to inspire you to be a blessing as well. So if you do not have a church home, we would love to have you come and visit with us. See if it is the place that God would have for you, that you could grow, thrive, serve, and become the person God created you to be as we're striving to become the church that God would have us to be. So we would love to see you. Consider this your personal invitation from the pastor to come and celebrate what God is doing. So let's go to Psalm 119, verse 33. I'm going to pick up where we left off yesterday. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me walk in the path of your commands, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. Revive me in your righteousness. The thing that we did not talk about yesterday as we were going through verse number 34 was that our approach to God giving us understanding is so that when we observe the law of God, that we do it with our whole heart. We do it with our maximum effort, our best effort, not our least. If you want God to do unprecedented things in your life, in your church, in 2020, we've got to make sure that we are serving God with our whole heart. Too many times we expect God's best while at the same time giving Him our least. Let me say that one more time just so you have an opportunity to let that set in. Too many times we expect God's best while at the same time giving Him our least. And there's a disconnect there. We need to make sure that we are completely and totally engaged in worship and obedience, in gaining understanding and in application in our life. Give God your all. Give God your all. The next verse, verse number 35, says this: make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. For I delight in it. I was watching a video series at the end of 2019, and it was talking about how our demeanor, our mindset, is communicated even in a nonverbal manner. We may be trying to conceal it as best as we can, but it will inevitably come out, and people will pick up on the things about our mindset. So if you are not fully engaged in your marriage, that's going to come through. So we need to be fully committed to making our marriage work. So I remember this goes back a long time ago. The person who was very instrumental in appointing me to pastor Merit Assembly of God had called me on the phone, and they said, I want to ask you to consider this other church. And by then we had seen some breakthrough at Merit Assembly of God. We had come from a situation where we were in debt and bankrupt to the point we were no longer bankrupt, and we were on the journey to doing quite well. This was before 40% of my congregation relocated in 1 year all across the country. That was a very painful time. And so I said, well, I don't feel like I am done at Merit Assembly of God, but I will tell you this. I will fast and pray about it. I will fast and pray about it. And I started off, and I was thinking as I was praying, and I was gutted, if you will. I mean, it was a painful process. There were people that I was praying for that we had seen God do some things in their lives, and I was thinking, what impact would this transition have upon them? And I don't want to be the one that inflicts spiritual damage to them. I viewed them as an extremely cherished relationship, a treasured relationship. And so my inclination was I didn't want any part with this. And so I fasted and I prayed. I did that for the length of time that I committed to him. And I can tell you exactly what I heard from God. I can tell you what day the fast ended. The fast ended on a Tuesday. And here's what I had heard from God during that time. Absolutely nothing. I had not heard one word of direction. And I remember that I was doing a Bible study, and I was in my research stage on that, and the very first point of the research that I was doing was this revelation that God was looking for people who were committed to the point of no return. And all of a sudden, God spoke to me, and he said, that's what I'm looking for from you at Merit Assembly of God. I'm looking for you to be committed to the point. Now, you have to understand that before Merit Assembly of God, I thought that every place that I had been was going to be where I spent the rest of my ministry. When I came to Merit Assembly of God, it was not the most ideal situation from an external standpoint, and it had a history of pastors coming and going, and there were about three pastors that had stuck around for several years. One had been there for 5, one had been there for 13, one had been there for 9. And so that's 22. That's 27 years of the 40 that the church had been in existence before I got there. Most of the others had lasted a year and a half, 2 years, or, you know, a really long stretch was 3 years. There had only been 3, a 5, a 9, and a 13. And what happened as a result of that, God was saying, I want you to be fully committed to this ministry. And so when a few years later, 40% of the congregation scattered throughout the state of Florida, across the country, there were military retirements, there were military relocations, there were people who moved away to where their family was and stuff like that. It wasn't an acrimonious split. It was just, bam, they were gone, and they were very core people at Merit Assembly of God. It was a very difficult season. And I was praying, and God said, now, I'm going to give you understanding on this, and how many times do you want to go around this mountain? I will tell you that I believe there is a connection between obeying God with our whole heart as well as taking a mindset of delighting in God's will, obeying God's word. If you remember back in 2019, towards the end of the year, we had talked about that word delight had the understanding of treating ourselves to a luxury. Treating ourselves to a luxury. And so worshiping God on a daily basis, say, this is the greatest luxury of my day. It's not a have to. Let's see, there was someone that said that we go from a mindset of doing it because it's our duty to doing it because of discipline to doing it because we delight in it. Moving from duty to discipline to delight. And when we say, you know what? The Word of God and walking in that Word of God, it is going to produce a jubilant mindset. So no matter what is going on in the sporting world, or the government world, what dynamic is taking place at your workplace, you can always find a place of joy when you say, God, would you make me walk in the path of your commands? So our grandchildren are in that very, very early developmental stage. And so they are of a mindset where, okay, we're going to help you to do the things that are going to help your development. And so whenever they come over to our house, well, our dogs like to go for a walk, and so we include the grandkids with that walk. And many times it becomes a run. But whenever we are making that, I will tell you that it is not just about exercise for the dog. It's not just about exercise for us. It is about making sure that the journey that the grandkids are on is a safe journey, and it's an enjoyable journey. I pray that your mindset to 2020 will not be one of fear and dread, but it will be one of faith and joy. What does God have in store? It's like that adventure that I talk about. We went to a theme park, we rode a roller coaster, and it started raining. We'd never been on the roller coaster before, so we didn't know what to expect. We didn't know where the turns were. We didn't know where the loops were. We didn't know when you were going to go up, when you were going to go down. And as we start to pick up speed, that the raindrops were like right on your eyes. And so you don't wear your glasses because they could fall off. And I got off of that roller coaster and I said, that was the most fun on a roller coaster I have had in a long, long time. Now, we had a season pass at one time when our kids were teenagers, and it was in a different part of the country. And we're used to theme parks down here where if you go, you're going to wait in line for an hour. We absolutely loved that theme park because you could get off of the ride, go around, get back on the ride, and there was virtually no wait, no delay. You got to ride way more. It was so much fun. If I told you that the word of God that God had set before us was one that was the path of great joy, would you believe me? Or would past experience carry greater weight and say, I find God's path to be one of legalism? You know, there are a lot of people who just really want to sap all of the joy out of the relationship with Jesus. Can I tell you that David said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Sin will rob you of joy. Obedience to the word of God, when it is wholehearted, will be something we greatly delight in. Verse number 36 says this. This is Psalm 119, verse 36. Incline my heart to your testimonies, and not to covetousness. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to covetousness. And so here we have the mindset that the psalmist is communicating to us as we're going through this coveting series about what are we going to set our heart upon. And so he says, incline my heart to your testimonies or to your word, and not to setting my heart on the things of this world or the things of temptation, things that I'm not supposed to have in my life. Set my heart, incline my heart to your word so that I don't set my heart in places that it doesn't deserve. What if I told you that it is in your power in 2020 to set your heart either on the right things or the wrong things? Okay? That power is within you. You have the capability. So this could be a year of great learning for you. This could be a year of great service for you. This could be a year where you don't accomplish anything. This could be a year of job transition for you. It could be a year of learning. It could be a year of understanding. Or it could just be a year where you have another birthday, you hear another message, and you don't do anything with it, and you end up looking at the year and saying, Boy, I can't wait for this year to end, when 2021 will not be any different if we don't change our heart. We've got to say, God, would you incline my heart? Right now I have in my head this picture of an evangelist that we've had a number of times. They travel in a travel trailer. Actually, I think it's a fifth wheel now. And what happens is whenever they come and park their vehicle at the church, they have these leveling devices that are built into the fifth wheel, where they are, one of them sets up in the cab and the other one is back there and telling them, okay, this is what we need to do because we need this to be level. The ground, you might look at it and think that it is flat. One of the most difficult things I've ever done was whenever we had an above ground pool and they say, you want this to be absolutely level. I have found that to be extremely challenging. I have yet to be able to figure out how to do that in such a way that there's not a dip someplace. But they would punch the button, and even though the ground looked level, they would be able to make the trailer level where the terrain wasn't. That's really what I hear the psalmist saying. God, I live in a crooked time, in a crooked generation, a perverse generation, a perverse time, and I need you to come and give me a heart adjustment. Not just an attitude adjustment, but a motivational adjustment, a inclination, if you will. You see, if you leave a plant outside unchecked, you will find that that plant will have a tendency to grow towards the sun. You will notice that some trees end up being impacted by the wind and things like that. So you can see some very interestingly shaped trees. You can see some trees that are not properly balanced. They begin to incline. Well, whenever you get something very, very heavy, you know, I think of the Leaning Tower of Pisa, you know, if that incline is too severe, guess what's going to happen? That building's going to come crashing down. What is being talked about here is not just a mild adjustment, but it is a massive correction. What we're talking about is, God, I need you to reverse the incline that I have towards coveting and longing and desperately needing in my own mind things that are not healthy for me. You know, you will hear things like that from the alcoholic, where they just need a drink, or a drug addict where they just need their next fix. Or you know, I just need money. That's what I need. And God is saying, if you will let me, I can come and I can reverse the incline from covetousness to having a heart for the things of God. You say, how is that possible? All you got to do is look at the Word of God and you can see that it took place in Saul, who became the Apostle Paul. He was inclined to persecute the church, kill Christians, and God radically repositioned his heart to where he was a no-holds-barred minister of the gospel. He was absolutely inclined wholeheartedly towards serving God and wanted everybody else to understand the completely higher quality of life he was experiencing as a believer to that as he was experiencing as a persecutor. God, incline my heart. Change the position. Now, I believe that it could be a radical change and it could be quick. When I am looking at the dashboard of my car, I like for the inclination of the arrow on my gas tank to be pointing towards full, not towards empty. If you are looking at your life right now and you're saying, I'm easily distracted. God is more a relationship of convenience for me than commitment, but I want to expect God's best, and I'm not going to give him my least. I'm going to give him my best. I'm going to give him my wholehearted obedience. I'm going to take joy in the Lord and in every opportunity that he presents to me. And so, God, I'm asking you, would you make it not only an activity adjustment, but an inclination? God, change my heart so that I have my heart set on the word of God, set on obedience to your testimonies. God is faithful. He is true. His word is going to endure forever. There's a couple of passages that I love about talking about the word of God. The first one is in the New Testament, and the NIV, I used to preach from the NIV, I now preach from the New King James Version. It said this: the people hung on his every word. I picture those people who were listening to Jesus and see them like sitting at the edge of their seat, trying to catch every syllable that Jesus had for them. My other is Samuel. God did not let a single word that Samuel prayed fall to the ground, and Samuel did not let a word from God fall to the ground either. His mindset was this: speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. You know how he got there? God had Eli teach him that saying. And when he didn't understand it, he still did it, and he became a great leader for the nation of Israel. I pray that this coming year, you and I will say, God, incline my heart towards your testimonies and not to covetousness. God bless you. Be a blessing to somebody. We'll see you next week right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.